As a prophet of doom and gloom, woe to you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land, he cries out. Woe to you who lie upon your beds of ivory. And let's face it, if you were one of the one percenters of biblical Israel, one of the poobahs of the legal system, for instance, or one of the titans of commerce, you almost certainly would have found Amos an irritating scold, ferreting out instances of wrongdoing and holding them up to the glaring light of God's judgment. But Amos's life did not start out that way. He was a penny ante sheep herder from the tiny village of Tekoa, not far from Bethlehem. He was probably more surprised than anyone when God abruptly summoned him from his herds and commissioned him to do the work of a prophet, that is, to speak the truth to people in power. And while there are some encouraging, even lyrical passages among his pronouncements, most of his prophetic activity was targeted at denouncing the rapacious pursuit of wealth by the already rich and their callous indifference to the poor. Amos's era, some 750 years before the birth of Jesus, was a sort of golden period for Israel, a time of unparalleled peace and prosperity. For the first time in many years, the Israelites lived in relative security, at peace with their neighbors. They even expanded the territory of their nation. The quality of their life seems to have improved with each passing year, though unfortunately, not for everyone. In fact, as Amos painstakingly demonstrates, the luxurious lifestyle of the rich was built on the backs of the poor. And that's why God sent Amos to the Israelites, to warn them about their shameful behavior, to urge them to return to covenant faithfulness, and to recognize that the bounty of the earth is intended for all God's people, not just the fortunate few. In this afternoon's reading, we hear Amos's bill of particulars, where he itemizes the charges against the Israelite elites. Amos says, "You complain about the days set aside for worship because your shops must remain closed and you make no profits. You shrink the size of your products while at the same time increasing their price. You rig your measuring scales and cheat the consumer. You exploit the most vulnerable. You buy the needy for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals." After presenting his case, Amos then pronounces God's sentence. "Because of these misdeeds, I will not overlook, I will never forget your many crimes." In this reading, Amos presents a rather severe indictment against the Israelites. But what does that have to do with you and me? Well, as the French say, plus ça change, plus la même chose. The more things change, the more they remain the same. Let's face it, Amos could have a very active career here in the United States in the 21st century. We too enjoy a life of unparalleled prosperity. Our country enjoys greater aggregate wealth than at any time in our history. Medical advances have outpaced many of the health challenges of our age. Educational possibilities have surpassed the wildest dreams of even one single generation ago. And yet, in this very highly developed society of ours, there are hundreds of thousands who live on the streets every day. others who suffer needlessly because they have no access to basic medical care. Still others who are functionally illiterate because of the inadequacies of our educational system. Would to God that there were an army of Amoses to call us to our senses today. But, my friends, that's exactly who you and I are supposed to be. You and I are supposed to be the modern day Amos, calling out our fellow citizens, reminding them and ourselves that the bounty of the earth, the amber waves of grain, the purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain are intended for all God's children. That is what you were anointed for, or had you forgotten? When you were baptized with water, you were also anointed with the chrism of salvation as priest, prophet, and king. God chose you and commissioned you as prophet to speak truth to power in the name of Jesus Christ. 48 years ago, the bishops of the whole world reminded the church that action on behalf of justice is constitutive, that is, an indispensable dimension of preaching the gospel. Those bishops in 1971 were not saying anything revolutionary or new. They were merely repeating the constant teaching of the church. After all, it was the Apostle James who wrote, "What good is it if you say you have faith, but do not follow through with deeds? If a brother or sister is naked and hungry and you say to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Well, my brothers and sisters, our faith here at Trinity is not dead. It is very much alive. As a parish, we study and advocate for the principles enunciated by our bishops in the Catholic Framework for Economic Life. With the bishops of the United States, we here profess that the economy exists for the person, not the person for the economy. With our bishops, we believe that all people have a right to life and to secure the basic necessities of life, such as food, clothing, shelter, education, health care, safe environment, and economic security. With our bishops, we acknowledge that a fundamental moral measurement of any economy is how the poor and vulnerable are faring. So then, inspired by the prophet Amos and strengthened by our baptismal anointing, let us pledge this afternoon to continue to raise an insistent voice as individuals and as a parish for an economy that benefits all, especially for an economy that blesses the poorest and most vulnerable among us.